the Triad's News Talk and Sports Station. WSJS Winston-Salem, Greensboro, High Point, Burlington. Online at WSJS.com. The workday is done. Social media is heating up.
Ding, ding, boys. School's in session.
Welcome to Sports Talk with Personality. You riding with us?
Yes.
Great. Coming to argue?
That's a given. That's a given.
Even better.
Let's get the show going.
Clock out. Crank up.
People got the popcorn. Let's give them a show.
The drive starts now on WSJS.
Let's go. Let's fire this thing up. Welcome in to a Tuesday drive right here on WSJS. News, talk, sports. That's where we come in for the Triad. I'm Will Dalton, also known as the WD. Gonna be rocking with you for the next 2 hours. Come along, why don't you? We got a lot to talk about. They're partying like it's 1999 in New York at the Garden. They don't know what to do with themselves. Ah! Let's wipe the dust off a little bit. Missed you yesterday. Hope you enjoyed our best of show that we put together, some of the highlights from last week. But let's get right into it. We'll get to the basketball here in just a second. But we got to talk about those Carolina Hurricanes. Jeez, Louise. He's rusty, everybody. He's a little slow on the trigger there, Morgan. Hope you had a good Memorial Day.
I did. How was yours?
I had some burgers. Did that. It's never long enough, though, when you have a day off. It's really not. But it's always fun to get back in the studio because when you're gone for 3 days, a lot of things happen. The Hurricanes are one step closer to returning to the Stanley Cup. And probably taking on the Vegas Golden Knights, because good grief, they have taken control of that series. 2-1, the Canes lead. Last night, took overtime again to get it done. And who was it? None other than Andrei Svechnikov, Svech, to get the game-winning goal. It's just a second goal of the playoffs, you guys. What did we talk about with Mike Maniscalco of FanDuel Sports Network and Joe Giglio of the Ovius and Giglio podcast last week on this show? This is the part. Stank has been great. Logan Stankoven's been great. But this is the part in the playoffs where they need Svech, Aho, Seth Jarvis to be who you believe them to be. That's what they needed. Shout out to Nikolai Ehlers, though. They got the game-winning goal. So back-to-back games, it's taken overtime. Ehlers got the goal in game two to wrap up the first couple of games in Raleigh. And then Montreal, of course, was where they were last night. Svech getting that goal. And that's what they need. That's what they need him to do. And it was a battle. We knew this thing was going to be a battle. The Canes were not going to be sweeping Montreal. And they're still not out of the woods yet, even despite having a 2-1 lead. And this is the part where you have to be careful. You have to be careful as a sports fan. You can celebrate, can do all those things, taking control of the series. It's great. I'm right there. Hey, I got a beer skate back here. I'm right there with you. I am. But you still got work to do. You still got work to do. Rod Brind'Amour. Last night after the game, he had some things to say about the Game 3 win.
I don't make a lot about this, to be honest with you. It's one win in this, you know, we need three more. And the past is the past. I mean, I don't really know what to say about that. I thought in all our past times in this, whatever, Eastern Conference Finals, whatever it is, play pretty well, and that's the way I judge it, and it's just not good enough. And so we're right back in this same time frame. We played a good game last night, now we gotta play another one. All that stuff, I know it gets talked about, it's just I spend zero time thinking about it, and my players do too. And
yeah, so the moral of the story is there's still more work to be done. You know, it's not just, you can't just look back at how lopsided it's been for the Canes in the Eastern Conference playoff runs. They've been to three of the last four, and they've won a before the last two games, they had won a game. 1-17, I believe, the exact record in the Eastern Conference final since their Stanley Cup title in 2006. So it hasn't exactly gone great. But nothing about this team this year resembles the past. Like, nothing. Other than you have some of those same guys like Aho and Svech and a lot of experience, but nothing resembles the past. And you got to remember that. So you're not out of the woods yet. And it's important to remember that. And that is the discipline of which the Canes have been playing with these entire playoffs. They could have, you know what? They could have dropped that first game 6-2 at home to further drive this point. They could have lost that game 6-2. It was 4-1 after a period. And they could have got flustered. You know, some of those veteran guys that have been there for a while. And they could have thought back to all those Eastern Conference final games they've lost. And all the disappointment in the conference finals they've had. And they could have shrunk. But these Canes have not done that. Which is why, again, a little different than years past. They've stayed steady Eddie. They have. No matter the situation. After going 8-0, 6-2 loss at home, what do? They come through at home in game two. And then again on road ice last night. And here was Rod Brind'Amour, a little bit more from him on past years.
Because it's so irrelevant, trust me. We've learned from every game we played, every win, every loss. You know, we definitely, I think, are better for it. But I don't waste too much time thinking about that. It's too much to worry about right now.
Vance Ballard, shout out to him, my guy, in our YouTube comments here, says the old Canes are down 3-0 in this series at this point. I could buy it. I could. But these aren't the old Canes, to your point. And, you know, we mentioned Mike Maniscalco, though, just a minute ago. Shout out to our guy. Here, so they do this thing called the booth cam or whatever it is at the that they have in there. He and Tripp Tracy calling the game on radio in Raleigh. And here's what it looked, if you're watching on our YouTube stream or our X stream, this is a good incentive to do that. This is what it looked and sounded like Mike Maniscalco on the call for the Svech overtime goal last night.
Dobson, Svechnikov will hang on to the puck. Sand across, Jarvis has to settle it. He'll get it right back, and chance, they score! They score! Andrei Svechnikov wins it!
I love that. Tripp Tracy over there just bodying up Mike Maniscalco, throwing elbows at him. I heard, yeah, they did silence that crowd, which featured maybe five Canes fans in it. Montreal, they don't play. Again, 5-6 Canes fans tops in that stadium maybe last night of the few that tweeted out that were actually there. So the Canes take a 2-1 lead, and it feels great, but still more work to be done. This is still going to be a series that, in my estimation, probably going to go about six games. I don't know if it goes seven. Probably six games, I think. Big game coming up in game four, though, for the Canes on road ice to try and take a commanding 3-1 lead going back to Raleighwood. Happy late Memorial Day to everybody. Hope you had a good one. Hope you threw some hot dogs, some burgers, maybe some brats on the grill. We did get a little bit of rain yesterday around here.
We did.
Had that. What did you eat? What did you eat yesterday? I don't know if I asked you that or not.
We had brisket.
Brisket. Memorial Day brisket.
Yes. No watermelon.
So you're going to go out and put watermelon on your top five...
Sold out.
Top five cookout foods. So we did that in our Best Of show yesterday. We did a No Rules top five cookout foods. Because that's what you think of in Memorial Day. You think about cookouts. And you didn't have any watermelon?
No. The day before, we had Italian sliders, though. And those were very good.
What's that have to do with watermelon?
I don't know. I'm so hungry right now.
You're always hungry.
It's a common theme.
Yes, it is.
Watched a lot of racing this weekend.
So much racing this weekend. Shout out to Suarez.
Yeah, winning
the Coke 600. We'll actually hear from him a little later on when we get the sound check. Incredibly emotional moment when Samantha, Kyle Busch's wife, came out. The kids. I didn't know if they'd do that.
I wasn't expecting it.
That had to be incredibly tough. Just it happened on Thursday? So just 3 days after Kyle Busch tragically passes away, which we now know it was like an extreme form of pneumonia or something like that. And she was out there in front of everybody. I mean, just what a thing to see. I'll say that. Kurt Busch laying down roses at the number 8 thing that they made on the infield. Incredibly emotional out there in Charlotte. But looking at our YouTube comments again, Jay Davis puts in, let's go Matt Able. That's right. So we learned earlier today, Matt Able, who transferred in from NC State, from Will Wade's crew. Maybe that could have been a guy that Will Wade could have tried to lure to LSU. Could have tried to get Paul McNeil over there too. But guess what? Paul McNeil's staying at NC State. Matt Able's going to UNC. And we learned he's going to stick with UNC. Earlier today, Mark Spears reported it first. Matt Able was going through the NBA combine process, and he really turned some heads. He was out there shooting it well from behind the arc, going up and down the floor with command. He looked great. He really did. And it scared some Carolina fans a little bit because you saw, I mean, he had two breakout games that I know of. I don't know how many scrimmage games they play in total, but there were two breakout games that he had that left some people, whoa, what's that? What's this? And some Carolina fans were a little bit concerned about this because they saw that, they saw those performances, and then they heard some of the comments that Matt Able made talking about how he had 1 foot in the NBA draft, and he had 1 foot at Carolina, and he kind of was going back and forth a little bit. And Carolina fans have already missed out on Henry Vassar. That's the last thing you need is to miss out on Matt Able. It's the last thing you need. Would have been terrible. Would have been. And here's what I'll say about all this. I think Matt Able has a chance to be the best player on this team next year. I don't think I'm crazy for saying that. I think he has just a boatload of potential. I mean, he showed you a lot of it in NC State last year, just on a surface level. And then going through the NBA combine process and showing what he did there amongst those guys that are, you know, going to the draft. And now you come back to college officially and you play for Michael Malone, who's an NBA champion just a couple of years ago, who developed Jamal Murray, Jokic, who's got the respect of so much of the NBA community. Shout out to Deion Thompson, by the way, 09 champion for the Tar Heels. He's going to be on Michael Malone's staff. I think Matt Able really does have a chance to be, like, we've been trying to figure out, all right, who's going to be on this team? Because Henry Vassar, he ain't going to be there. Is it Terrence Brown? Is it Jaren Stevenson? I think it might be Matt Able. And don't sleep on Neo, the point guard, 6'9 guard that can pass it really well from Virginia Tech. I think he's being a little bit slept on, not talked about enough. But I do believe that Matt Able has an opportunity to be the best player on this team. I really believe that. Looking at our YouTube comments a little bit more here. Jay Davis says, none of Will Wade's players were going to follow him. Yeah, you're probably right. Based on the way he talked about him in press conferences and then doing what he did at the end there after, you know, promising so many things. Yeah, you're probably right about that. And then he also adds either Abel or Nico will be the best player. I agree. I think there's a great chance it's going to be Matt Able. I really, really do. I like what he looks like already.
Will Dalton doesn't just talk sports.
A gentleman never talks down to anybody.
He debates them, talking sports in the triad like nobody's mom is listening. This is The Drive.
We'll get to Dalton's dollars in about 10 minutes or so. Things are going very well in my pocket. I'll just leave you with that. I want to give you the Knicks starting five. Some of the Knicks starting fives that we've seen over the last decade or so. How does this sound to you? Louis Amundsen. Lance Thomas. Wasn't he a Dookie? I think he was. Jason Smith, Tim Hardaway Jr. Okay, that's decent. Langston Galloway. Anybody want that? Anybody want that starting five? Let's get to another one here. Kadeem Allen, Damian Dotson, Kevin Knox. I remember I used to play with him in 2K My Team. Sneaky player, but not the point. Noah Vonleh, Luke Kornet. Here's one more for you to drive the point home. Langston Galloway, Alexei Shved, Andrea Bargnani, Lou Amundsen, Lance Thomas. Does anybody want that? Knicks fans deserve this. That's my point here. That's the starting fives that you would see on a nightly basis for New York in the last decade to 15 years. See Wayne Ellington on one of these Lakers rosters that this Knicks team was playing. Shout out to Wayne Ellington. But yeah, Knicks fans, they've been needing this for a long time. And so party like it's 1999. Do exactly that. I saw where the NYPD was like shutting down certain watch parties just before the game last night in New York City just because of how crazy it had been getting. Like if the Knicks win the finals somehow, some way, Manhattan might explode. It might explode. Like, we might see smoke coming up from the streets. You probably will. But this Knicks team has been on such a run. Like, they've won 11 straight games. Like, there was a second where it looked like the Hawks might get them early, but they've won 11 straight since then, blowing by their opponents. And to further drive that point home, they have outscored their opponents in those 11 games by 262 points. 262! That is the best point differential in the NBA in an 11-game stretch in history, regardless of regular season or postseason. It doesn't matter what the stretch is, that's the best. So I'm not saying these are the Bulls from the 90s or even the 16-17 Warriors, but by the numbers, it's one of the best teams in NBA history. It's just it is. Now, you obviously have to look at who the Knicks have been playing. I get it. It's a little bit of a different situation in the East than it is the West. We all know this. I mean, the West has just been a gauntlet, has been for years. You know, when Milwaukee won their title, the East was pretty strong that year, if I recall, somewhat comparable to the West, but it's obviously not quite right now. And I mean, when you look at the teams that the Knicks have played. Atlanta, of course, then swept the Sixers, now swept the Cavs. But you got to play who's in front of you. I mean, it's not their fault. And these are still NBA playoff teams, mind you. It's not like these are tanking teams in the regular season anymore. These are playoff teams. So, Knicks fans, you deserve this. And I actually want to get to this. I saw on Instagram, I saw something that Complex put out. They always put out good things, good little pieces of information. So the last time the Knicks were in the NBA Finals, 1999, that actually, I believe, was against the Spurs, too, by the way. Yeah, that was against the Spurs, too, oddly enough, who I think they're going to face again. And this is what the world looked like the last time the Knicks were in the Finals. Spike Lee was 42 years old. He's been going through it for a long time. SpongeBob debuted. Yeah. Eminem dropped Slim Shady LP. That may not mean much to non-hip-hop fans, but shout out to those who know. Family Guy had just debuted. Show's been around a long time. Social media didn't exist. Didn't have that. The Yankees were on their way to winning back-to-back world titles. Had to sneak that one in there. LeBron was in middle school. It's been a while. It's been a while. So, the NBA is better when the Knicks are good. The NBA is better when the Knicks are in the NBA Finals. And MSG is one of the spots, the one of the two spots where we get to watch NBA Final games. When the Oregon is playing, doesn't get much better than that. So what are their chances against the Spurs, against the Thunder? Slim... this is why we build you up to tear you down. It's Slim. It is. The Thunder, the Spurs, they're really good. Better than the Knicks, methinks. However, the one slight edge that I would give the Knicks over either of those teams out west is the fact that the Knicks have just been able to coast for the last 11 games, and now they get to rest. And the NBA Finals don't start till next Wednesday, regardless of what happens in the Western Series, I believe. I believe that's the firm start date, next Wednesday. Meanwhile, what's happening in the Western Conference Finals? The Spurs and the Thunder are literally in a heavyweight battle, beating the crap out of one another. Just going blow for blow, all tied up at two apiece. Thunder took game three. Spurs handled it last night. So that is the slight edge. Slight edge I would give the New York Knicks. I don't think they're going to win the finals, but against either one of those teams, that's the edge right there. It's just the fact that the Knicks are so well rested. And I don't care about the rust factor, really. I don't really care about that. If you give a head coach an opportunity to have rest in the playoffs at this point, especially going into the finals, they'll take it. They'll take it. So, Knicks headed to the finals. First time since 1999. And we'll see who they face. The Spurs-Thunder series, it's getting really good. It's going about how I thought it would. I had Spurs in seven. And so far, everything tracks that we've seen in that series. Looking at the YouTube comments very quickly. Jay Davis asks, isn't Morgan a Chargers fan? I don't think either of you were born last time they went to a Super Bowl. Same for the Cowboys, too. I was not born last time the Cowboys went to the Super Bowl. Don't think I was born last time the Chargers did either. Don't think I was. He goes on to say, these Knicks are reminding me of when the Mavs won the championship. Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. He says he might put a bet on them to win. I don't know if I would do that. I don't know if I would take that bet.
A small one, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a little bit like that Mavericks run. Just a little bit. Although I think that Mavericks team was even... I mean, these are still the Knicks. Still a big brand like Mavericks. Man, that came out of nowhere going up against the Heatles.
And they took on everybody.
Dirk just was an assassin in that series, in those playoffs.
They took on OKC with the big three. They took on Kobe.
Yeah.
Kobe and Powell, I believe.
They did.
And then the big three down in Miami.
It's true. So, I mean, it is a nice comparison, Knicks to the Mavericks from back then. Okay. Dalton's dot. By the way, we'll get to the Cleveland. And 336-777-1600, that is the number to call if you have thoughts on the NBA Finals. Do you give the Knicks a chance? Do you? Maybe you're a Knicks fan. Maybe you're a, you know, you might be a bandwagon Knicks fan. Those exist. especially now that they're good. So 336-777-1600, that's the number to call. Are the Knicks, do they have a chance against the Spurs or the Thunder? Listen, I can't get to the Cleveland Cavaliers right now. I need a whole segment to deal with them and what the heck they just did or didn't do. Just embarrassing, man. Absolutely laid an egg on their home floor. They looked like they didn't even want to be out there. Just gotta love it. Right, Cleveland fans? Gotta love it. So we'll get to the Cavaliers in a little bit. But first we got to get to Mark in Greensboro here, who has an interesting comp, I believe, for these New York Knicks.
What's up, dude? How you doing?
I'm terrific. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, man. I was listening to it, and I know I'm older than you guys. So I think for me, I was actually in L.A. when the Pistons beat the Lakers with Chauncey Billups, Richard Hamilton, Rasheed Wallace, Ben Wallace. Like those, that team was kind of like this Knicks team. You could make a case that Jalen Brunson is as big a star as Chauncey Billups or as clutch as him.
Yeah,
and then you could also make a case that they do all the little things. You got guys like Josh Hart. I don't know who he would comp to, but I don't know, man. Like it just, I don't think there's been a faceless, because I mean, think about it. It's the Villanova Knicks. It's like
it
that's
is.
Been a big thing. It's been about this team that has this cohesion since they were in college, and I think that's probably the only edge I give them when they play whoever they play. Because you know me, I'm a UConn guy. I love San Antonio with Steph Castle. I think Steph would give Jalen Brunson a ton of issues being as big as he is. I don't know, man. I'd just be cool to see him kind of win, but I'm still rooting for the Spurs.
Appreciate the call, Mark. Good to hear from you as always. And I do like that comp. I do like that. Because that is the thing about these Knicks. I mean, I would say Jalen Brunson's a superstar, but one thing that I really appreciate about him is the fact that he took significantly less money than he could have to build this team around him and to get some of the guys, like the Villanova Knicks point, some of the guys that he wanted. I love that comp. Let's get the Jew in Winston here.
WB.
What'd it do?
I think the one thing, I believe the Knicks do really got a chance. And I said it in the chat. What people not really saying is, by the time these finals start, whoever it is, OKC or the Spurs, they're going to be banged up.
Yeah. It is true, because, I mean, when you look at the fact that, now granted, De'Aaron Fox and Dylan Harper are playing, but they're still not 100%, and then J-Dub, he's questionable tonight, and he's on his fourth hamstring injury of the year, so I agree. Who do you like to come out of the West?
Honestly, I think it's going to end up being OKC. I think Spurs are a little bit too banged up.
Okay.
I think one more year for Wemby. I don't think it's that time yet.
All right. So according to Jew and Winston, I appreciate the call. Thunder Knicks. Man, MSG and the Thunder's arena is your two spots for the finals. Good grief. Just injected in our veins.
All right, let's go.
Oh, I'm so excited.
And 3, 2, 1, go.
The Triad's ride home just got louder. Welcome to the drive.
Back at it on the drive right here on WSJS, where we're taking your phone calls. We've already had a couple of good ones. Do you give the Knicks a shot against whoever comes out of the West? Spurs, Thunder. Who do you think's coming out of the West? 336-777-1600. That is the number to dial up. So, I made 3 picks over the weekend. And they went well, to say the least. Let's get to them in Dalton's Dollars. Stack it up, stack, gotta stack
it up. It's time to cash in. Welcome to Dalton's Dollars.
Show me the money!
Show me the money.
Breaking down the board and building the bankroll.
Yeah, we're building the bankroll, all right. You can say that again, Bob. So, I had a nice plethora. had a bet for each sport that I was looking at there. So I took, on Friday night, I took Thunder -1.5. That was game 3 in San Antonio. First game in San Antonio of that series. That cash, Thunder 123-108.
Show me the money!
I mean, those two games played out exactly how I thought. I thought the Thunder would take game 3. I thought the Spurs would respond in game 4. And here we sit at 2 apiece going back to OKC. Then, in the Vegas-Colorado series, Western Conference Finals in the Stanley Cup, I liked Vegas money line, and that cashed.
Show me the money!
Vegas leads that series 3-0. Here I thought the Canes were going to play the Avalanche in the Stanley Cup. Oh, buddy, Vegas, they got other ideas. Game 4 of that series tonight. This is the bet that really pissed me off. So Gerrit Cole made his debut on Friday. What was this? Tampa Bay Rays. I think that's right. I'm going to double check this. This is the part where I Google things live on radio. Yeah, it was the Rays. Gerrit Cole making his return. Had not seen him in a year and a half. And listen, the part that really upset me, it's not the fact that the Yankees lost it's the fact Gerrit Cole looked pretty good. Went 6 innings. Only gave up 2 hits. Just 2 Ks. 3 walks. But then they went to the pen, and that's where they gave up a 4-burger. 4 runs. Tim Hill, thank you for that. Yankees lost 4-2. So that didn't cash. Hate that. But we went 2-1 over the weekend. So our summer bets so far, the record, 13-9. Haven't been in the negative yet. And yes, I'm knocking on wood when I say that. So let's put a 4-pack out in the universe tonight. Let's do that. Spurs Thunder. Even when the Spurs have lost, they've kept it close. For the most part, they've done that. I think they do that tonight. I think I like the Spurs to win tonight. They cover 4.5.
Show me the money!
4.5-point dogs they are. Vegas Avalanche, mention that. I'm not going to touch that spread. I'm just going to go over six goals.
Show me the money!
I went over 7.5 over the weekend. That hit. A lot of goals scored in this series. So I like it to go over 6. Cam Schlittler on the mound tonight for the Yankees against the Royals. Going to go over 5.5 strikeouts.
Show me the money!
And one more baseball bet. The Phillies play at San Diego. I like Kyle Schwarber to go over 1.5 combined hits, RBIs, runs.
Show me the money!
I like that. So that's the 4 on the card tonight. Spurs, they cover as 4.5 dogs. Going back to OKC tonight. Vegas Avalanche, combined over 6 goals. Cam Schlittler records over 5.5 Ks against the Royals. And Kyle Schwarber, over 1.5 hits, RBIs, runs, combined against the Padres. Spend Dalton's dollars. So I see Pete Thamel reporting that the NCAA has denied Texas Tech quarterback Brendan Sorsby a request for eligibility reinstatement for this year. That's the guy that got in trouble for gambling. Did you see that?
So most likely what's next for him is the supplemental draft. Have you heard of this before?
I have, but I don't know what much about it.
Okay, so I did some research on this because I assumed that they were going to deny his eligibility.
There you go.
And essentially what it is each team, there's a bunch of players that lose eligibility or whatever. They've lost eligibility due to academics or whatever. In this case, gambling. And there's a supplemental draft after the NFL draft for these players. And essentially what happens is, say you're the Chargers and you want this Sorsby you can pick him and you submit the pick that you would give up in your next draft. So if it's a first, second, third, or whatever, and they just, I think they take the highest pick or the highest round pick.
Oh.
So like if I'm the Panthers and I pick, I'll say I'll give him a fourth round and you say you'll give a third round, you'll get him because you gave a higher pick. And you'll lose your third round pick for the upcoming draft in the next year.
That's an interesting process.
Yeah.
I didn't know about this. This is why we keep you around to know these things. Doing your daily digging on the interwebs. That's what you do. What'd you think of the race? Coke 600.
It was so much fun. I watched two this weekend. I asked ChatGPT, I wanted to go back and watch some old ones, and it said the 2007 race was a really good one.
Who won that?
Casey Mears for Hendrick Motorsports in the 25 National Guard car.
What a pull.
Yeah, it was a great race. It was an endurance race. Everybody got shuffled around great, but this year's Coke 600 was phenomenal. The cars are so good on these mile-and-a-half tracks. The rain held off. Thank you, Vortex. Have you heard of the Vortex? Real ones know the Vortex. Daryl Waltrip in the 2000s pretty much said rain goes around the track because cars are going so fast in a circle that it goes around the track. There's
such a DW thing to say.
There's no science involved in it. It's not scientifically backed, but Denny Hamlin said it on the CW broadcast the best. If we're talking about the Vortex theory, it's not a great night for racing. Because that means there's rain, but it held off long enough for Daniel Suarez to win it.
How many laps were left? Like 27?
27 laps.
Because I was watching, and I didn't have the sound on, but I saw the rain, and I saw him coming to the pits, and I'm like, okay, they're just going to take a little breather, and the next thing I know, Daniel Suarez is celebrating. I'm like, oh, all right.
So there was a thunder delay before that, and they brought all the cars, or they thought they were going to bring the cars down pit road. And they didn't. Normally in sporting events, it's 30 minutes after a lightning strike within, I think it's 8 or 10 miles. Apparently there's a new rule. If the storm's moving away from the arena and there's no more lightning in a few minutes, you can just resume. So they resumed it, and then Suarez held off on two tires two times, and now the Coke 600 trophy is going back to Kyle Busch Motorsports' old bin, which is a spectacular story.
That is very cool. So we'll get to... some of the best sound from the racing weekend, the long weekend, when we get the sound check next hour, because, boy, I've got some doozies. Some Kyle Busch stories. Also, Kenny Atkinson being completely off his rocker. Let's just get to this now.
Sports talk for people who yell at the TV and mean it. You're on The Drive, the Triad's only live sports talk show.
Back at it on The Drive, right here on WSJS, as we wrap up hour number one. And I wanted to get to the Cleveland Cavaliers specifically. I think the Knicks deserve their flower in a separate segment. The Cavs deserve their own segment too, because what are we doing? What are we doing? So they blew that 22-point lead in game one, where the Knicks went on a 30-8 run in the fourth quarter. And Kenny Atkinson did not call a timeout either, by the way. That's important to note, because after the events that have unfolded over the last four games, I mean, first of all, Cavs Pistons look like a series that was just going to be whoever blows the most games is going to be the one that loses. It was just back and forth. Cleveland would blow it on their home floor, and then Detroit would blow it on their home floor. And the Cleveland Ag just came out on top. I did not like the Cavs' chances against the Knicks. I thought the Knicks would win in five. I didn't think they had a defensive answer for Jalen Brunson. I did not take into account the Cavs just completely looking like they were going to fold up shop and just say the heck with it. Because they never really recovered from going down, from blowing that 22-point lead. They never did. And then they got back to Cleveland down 2-0, and they just, they didn't look like, they looked like they already had their reservations booked in Cancun. They really did, which is sad because, again, you're on your home floor. You got a chance to fight back here, and they just, I don't know, they didn't look like they were in it. Didn't look like they were very interested at times. So that wasn't very good. Just an embarrassing showing for Cleveland. These just runs, like these runs that the Knicks would go on with no resistance. So Kenny Atkinson, according to Shams of ESPN, just an hour or two ago, reporting that Kenny Atkinson is going to be returning for a third season. The entire staff and the front office are coming too, or staying too, I should say. And that's the first report of the offseason that we have about Cleveland. Then Brian Windhorst is saying that it's looking like James Harden is going to be planning to stay long-term in Cleveland. He reported on ESPN earlier today this, that James Harden is planning to sign a long-term deal. So that's the second report that we have of the day. And James Harden was a big piece of that 22-point collapse in game one. James Harden tends to disappear in big playoff moments. And I like James Harden. He's a hooper. He's one of the, like, you know, I always thought the 2010s, 2016s, like the 2010s were my like favorite era that I've been alive for of the NBA. And James Harden was a big piece of that. You know, Steph, Harden, Chris Paul, LeBron, KD, like those are the guys, man, back in the 2010s. So I love James Harden. But at this point, we've got enough of a sample size that James Harden just disappears in big moments in the playoffs. He just does. And Cleveland apparently wants to run it back and have him sign a long-term deal, whatever long-term means. Brian Windhorst also says that you should expect the Cavs to make significant changes. Now, we don't know what that means. I assume it could mean potentially moving Jared Allen or Evan Mobley to try and get Giannis, perhaps. If you bring Giannis in, see? Morgan, you like that?
I like that.
You like that? Because that's what they need. They need somebody to pair with James Harden and Donovan Mitchell. And it could also mean LeBron. I believe that the table is set. The stage is set for the final part of the LeBron doc, where he, Cavs get swept in embarrassing fashion, and LeBron returns to Cleveland yet again to save the day. Bring Cleveland, Cleveland, this is for you, part two. He does it again on his retirement tour, rides off into the sunset, LeBron, GOAT. I actually think that would make him the GOAT, me personally. Let's get to the phones here very quickly. Doug and Winston, what do you got?
Hi, WD. You make some good points. Let's just take one at a time. Right. It's a team sport.
Yeah.
And Harden did help. He helped them get to the finals.
Sure.
After that, he's a liability. So I'm just saying what should happen. He's gone. Kenny Atkinson acted like he didn't even want to be there.
Yeah.
Didn't make the right. He didn't make the decisions he should have made. He's gone. All right, Donovan Mitchell. He can't do it all by himself.
No,
Giannis. He's 35 years old. No reason to bring Giannis into the equation. He's not going to help. He would be a liability. There's only one logical choice. You already took the wind out of my sails. It's LeBron. He doesn't get along with management anyway. Doesn't get along with him, doesn't see eye to eye. I'm sure talks have already been taking place between his camp and the Lakers camp. Come back to Cleveland. Does that mean a ring? No. It just means he's going to come back to Cleveland and finish his career. They still need to get other pieces other than that, but Harden. You can't sign Harden to a long-term contract. You just can't. You can't do that. That's not being fair to the people in Cleveland. All right, let's talk about the Knicks for a second. The tickets, the highest ticket, the one, the nosebleeds, are going for $3,000. Come on, that's price gouging.
It's
big
insane,
time.
Man. I saw that. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, $3,000 WD the day, and I don't care if you do live in New York. You're probably struggling to make ends meet anyway. So, as far as the Knicks go, but no way. They're not going to match up with the West. That you know, I know they won 11 in a row, and I know they've done this, and I know they've done that. But the other two teams that are left, they're in a whole different stratosphere than the Knicks. It'll probably go 6. It should go 5. You know, I think I disagree with you. They win tonight at home. They're not going to lose tonight to the Spurs at home. Not going to happen. And it'll go 7 games. But the
Doug, I think we lost you. We're up against it.
Let's go, baby.
What, kind of like this?
Let's go! Go!
Now, back to the Drive.
Jay Davis in our YouTube comments, as we keep it moving here on the Drive on WSJS, he makes a pretty great point about grocery stores, about Lowe's. He said he's a Lowe's Foods type of guy because you can get a beer and then grocery shop. It is true. It is incredible what they've done. So I live off Wendover, and the Lowe's Foods that's right there near Wendover, they actually remodeled the beer cave. They did not the beer cave. It's the beer den. The beer den. And they've made it into like a full-on bar setup. Yeah, with taps and everything. And like, seriously, I'll go to the grocery store there. It's right up the road. And I will literally see, like, they have tables and there's like a crowd. There's like people out there hanging out. And I'm like, when did this become like a brewery? When did this become a spot to hang out? I didn't know about this. I mean, I knew they had like the beer den where you could do samples and things, but I didn't know this was like a sit down, hang out type of place. It's fascinating. It's really fascinating. Okay. It's one of our favorite segments each week. We bring you some of the best clips, some of the best sound bites that are going out there. Got some racing. Got some Kyle Busch stories. And Kenny Atkinson, what are we doing? Let's get it in sound check.
Sound check.
Hey, I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Plug in, turn up, and catch what everyone's talking about.
Okay. Let's start with a story that Joe Gibbs told about Kyle Busch. So we sat down this weekend and spoke to the media. Just talking honestly about Kyle Busch, telling stories and, you know, paying homage to him. And he sat down for probably 40 to 45 minutes with the media, actually. Here was a story that he told that I thought was pretty good.
We're at Loudoun, New Hampshire, and he finished second. And so I kind of slid over to where they're interviewing people there. You know, because sometimes there might be something I could have to handle afterwards. And so I slid over there, and his interview was absolutely great. And so I said, well, gosh, you know, he must be happy. You know, he finished second, so he's probably happy. He walked 10 yards to me. I was standing there, and he went just like this. He went, "Your cars suck." And he kept right on walking. And I some of you heard it.
Yeah. Kyle Busch, it was like that. He didn't mince words very much. And that was just one moment of a weekend worth of tributes to him. And then, of course, you had the moment of silence with Samantha, with Brexton there, as they all, the family and everybody, surrounded the 8 that was in the infield there. Again, unbelievable. Can't believe, like, I was like, there's no way they're going to come out here. But I feel like, again, that's what Kyle would have wanted them to do. The NASCAR CEO, when this was after we got off on Friday, he was asked, you know, did you guys consider postponing the race at all? And he was like, nah, Kyle would have been pretty pissed off if we would have done that. Very similar to Dale Earnhardt when they went to Rockingham in 01. Like, Dale would have wanted them to race, and so did Kyle. Kenny Atkinson. So this was when the Cavs were down 3-0 over the weekend. He had this to say, and it caught everybody by surprise.
Analytically, I think we've won the I said 3 out of 3. We're 2 out of 3. And the expected, I don't know if you guys follow that, is that it's an expected score. You know, and we won 2 out of 3. And I know you're looking confused, but
No, I'm not.
There is really, yeah. You know, if you believe in process and all that, like, man, up. So, you know, take that later. I know I don't throw that on them. I see it for myself. I'm like, man. We have this feeling. I have this feeling. Then I can go to our analytical table and be like, man, we are, you know, last.
Is he okay? Analytically, we've won 2 out of 3. Brother, you're down 3-0. You blew a 22-point lead. There was another massive run by the Knicks. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't even competitive, these games in Cleveland over the weekend. What are we talking about? And they're going to keep him. Cavs are keeping Kenny Atkinson. That's what they're going to do. Let's get back to racing. Daniel Suarez. So there was like 27 laps to go when the rain came down. The race was called. Daniel Suarez, your Coke 600 winner. And he was very emotional, obviously, about Kyle Busch, but here he was, you know, saying why this was for Kyle.
This is very special. You know, every win is special. Thank you, Jimmy. Appreciate it, brother. Thank you so much.
Jimmy Johnson in with a hug.
But definitely this one has a special flavor because of Kyle. This one is for him. If it wasn't for Kyle, I wasn't going to be an Xfinity champion. I wasn't going to have my shot in the Cup Series. And to be able to win this race for him is unbelievable.
It's pretty emotional stuff. You know, it seems like everybody out there had some type of story, had some type of connection to Kyle that was unique to them. I thought Marty Smith throughout the day on Sunday just did a great job going to each of the racers, talking to them, and it just, you can tell there's just so much respect between the NASCAR drivers and Marty Smith and his ability to tell their stories and things like that. There's a real trust there. And Daniel Suarez, that was quite a moment for him. Let's go back to Cleveland. The Cavs have been swept. LeBron is a free agent at 41 years old. And Cleveland radio is already ablaze. Here it is.
Okay, listen to me. I used to own Corbo's Bakery. Charles Oakley came to my bakery all the time. He told me he met with Maverick Carter last week. And he told me LeBron James is 95% coming to Cleveland.
Okay.
And Charles Oakley and LeBron James and Maverick Carter are all good friends.
Okay, Corbo in Cleveland Heights, he has inside word LeBron's coming back. Let it begin.
Yeah, let it begin. You're going to be seeing that. I mean, it's already happening. So you've got this. You're getting reports from Wendy. I mean, it's just, I love NBA free agency. Morgan, you're shaking your head. Why?
I'm already tired of this narrative that,
whoa,
he's going to go back to Cleveland and all this other stuff. He's not going there. He's not going back to Cleveland. He's not going to Golden State. If they're signing James Harden to a long-term deal, they're not going to get LeBron. Because LeBron's not going to take a pay cut, and he's going to want 50 next year. Right? Like, a reasonable number for him's 45 or 50. He's not going to take less than 45, I think.
Knicks?
I don't think they have the money either.
No.
Clippers do.
He's not going up the street to the Clippers. He's not doing it. This is why the NBA offseason, free agency, it's so fascinating. Because there's just so much story. There's so many. We love it. We eat it up like it's candy. Or chicken tenders from Publix, whatever you're into. We love it. And half the time, the stuff that we're consuming, the stories, it doesn't even materialize. Nothing even comes from it, at least not how it's laid out in the story. But we still love it. We still eat it up for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So many food references. But it is true. I don't know how they're going to pull it off if he's not going to take a pay cut. I don't know how that's going to work. I'm very curious, but I don't think that's the end of the story. I just don't. It's too easy. It's too simple. Lastly, back to racing, but to the Indy 500. This call, the final call of the Indy 500, is one of the most electric things you are going to hear. This was Will Buxton, who, is he new in the booth?
So Fox just acquired IndyCar in the last year or two, so he's relatively new.
And boy, he laid it out there. Here was the final call of the closest finish in Indy 500 history. Is that right? Insane. Here it is.
Not over yet. Malukas has to defend from Rosenqvist. Great run off the final corner. Here comes Rosenqvist. Malukas defends. Who has you. It? Over the line. Who's it going to be?
Outside.
It's Rosenqvist.
Oh.
It's Rosenqvist.
Oh, my goodness.
Whoa. Oh, what a month of May.
Well, you just won the Indy 500. You just won, buddy.
It's so electric. It's even more electric to see him call it in the booth because he's just getting into it. He's in the moment. Closest finish in Indy 500 history. Felix Rosenqvist.
And he did it pretty much, I'm going to say, quote-unquote, defying physics.
Yeah.
If you didn't see it, IndyCar is a sport, especially Indianapolis, where there is one line. It's the bottom. If you're too wide, you're falling back. And he was too wide the entire lap, got past his teammate, Armstrong, and made a huge run that Malukas could just not block unless he wanted to wreck. And he just got him. 0.0233, I think, was the official differential between first and second.
Yeah, it just, like I said, it's the best weekend in racing, and that was pretty awesome to see. Pretty, pretty cool stuff. That's been Soundcheck. Love some racing. We'll have the Madhouse Minute tomorrow. Gonna do that. But let's light these phone lines back up again. Let's do that. 336-777-1600. I've been enjoying these calls we've been getting today. Do the Knicks have a chance? Do they? I feel like a lot of people are counting them out, even though they're on this incredible run, and they're on the best. They've got, the best point differential. They're beating teams by the most points in an 11-game stretch in the history of the NBA, postseason or regular season, while the Spurs and the Thunder are just duking it out in the West, getting banged up, injuries, guys that aren't 100%. Knicks are just kicking it. That's the edge right there, if you can find one.